Kildare Today with Clem, Owen and Ciara.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Okay, to come, we have the head of corporate communications with the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission advising parents to only buy toys this Christmas with the CE mark and how to purchase online again. Also, it's Kildare Climate Action Weekend, events taking place across the county. We'll hear about that. Also, to the Councillor Vanessa Liston at the Selbridge Leixlip Municipal District regarding motions she brought up. And we'll be looking ahead to those two Leinster hurling quarterfinals involving Naas and Maynooth GAA clubs, plus a mention of the other sport as well. And we'll come back with more on that CSO transport omnibus. Some of the figures in it, extremely detailed research, I have to say, and some of the numbers quite revealing as well. A couple of quick messages. Happy birthday to Woody. He's 8 today. It comes from love with Dexter, Mammy and Clyde, our new dog. You didn't give me a surname in regards to that, but Woody, wherever you are, anyway, happy birthday to you. And I mentioned there Mick McLaughlin in Australia playing 2001 holes of golf, raising $250,000 Australian dollars for Ronald McDonald House, of which he is the director. And I mentioned Anthony McLaughlin, the brother, Ian sent it in. And I know Ian played with a tie. It was Anthony, his brother, another brother, who played. Isn't Anthony a Gardaí inspector? He could even be a superintendent now, or he might even be retired now from the Gardaí. Yes, I remember Anthony playing as well for a tie and Kildare. So well done, Mick McLaughlin, and that Veronica, I'm sure, will soothe and smooth those very, very sore feet after all that. How many divide 2001? By 18, presuming that he's playing 18 holes, let me see now on my good old calculator. If I put in something about 2001, shut up, Owen. I know you're good at the sums. Divide by 18 holes, and it equals what did you say, Owen Beattie?
111.
111 rounds of golf.
Yeah, that's mad.
Oh my good God.
I can barely get through one.
And he was playing those in a week, right? So divide that by seven now. Divide by seven.
Are you using a calculator here? I thought you were a teacher.
And no, I'm not.
15.
15 rounds of golf a day. 16 rounds of golf a day.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
But like one round of golf takes a couple of hours.
It does. Now, if you're playing on your own, it'd be a lot faster than waiting for someone like you who's sitting into the bushes all the time.
Yeah.
And you spend half an hour looking for your golf ball because you don't want to lose it, even though you paid €1.50 for it.
I'd be walking around the course. You'd be using the little buggy to get around, you know. I'd be walking around it.
All right. Okay. One of the things that stresses and strains bring to families, or the types that come to families over Christmas, is shopping. Well, we better put it now more delicately than this. When we phone Santa at the North Pole, or we go online to Santa at the North Pole, and we're inquiring of Santa about what you might have for John and Mary, or Eva, or Quiva, or Kira, or Kieran, or Quivine, or all the male equivalents, or whatever else, it's very, very important that we get our message clear to Santa online. She was with us yesterday, Dirren Sweeney, Head of Corporate Communications, Competition and Consumer Protection with the Commission, and she's back again today, it being Black Friday. Good morning, Dirren.
Good morning. And also the toy show night as well too, so good timing.
The toy show is on tonight as well, yeah. You didn't buy any more dresses since yesterday online that you paid up treble for?
No. No, I did my usual. I looked online with all of too many options. Okay. Again, so it's a common thread for me.
Yeah. Well, indeed. Now, Dirren, just very, very quickly before we move to the area of Santa and toys and online, getting in touch with Santa online, a quick word again about the caution people need to use today, it being this Black Friday with Cyber Monday coming as well, particularly in relation to the websites they use and what they might put on it or how they ascertain whether it's legit or not.
Absolutely. Well, the most important thing to say is if you're buying from any website is to click on the terms and conditions to look for the address. So to make sure that you know where you're buying from. So if you're buying from outside of the EU, so that includes the UK, you need to be more cautious that there may be issues with delivery. You may have to pay extra taxes and charges. and if something goes wrong, you may not be able to get an outcome. I suppose that's the most important thing. Separate to that, I suppose, is for any type of shopping, is not to be too much bought in by the discounted price, the discount itself, there's a percentage, but look at the actual price and compare prices to make sure you're actually getting a good deal.
All right. On that note, the same caution needs to be exhibited, by the way, when you're sending Santa your credit card number or anything like that for the toys that you're ordering in regards to that. Now, interestingly enough, looking on your site, ccpc.ie, it starts with, what is a toy?
Yes, yes. Well, I suppose rather than assuming, there's specific product safety legislation for toys. And rather than assuming that anybody, you know, that is open to interpretation about what a toy could be, it's very important to set out to any manufacturer that this is what a toy is. So, and with that, there's specific requirements that if you either produce toys or if you sell toys, that you need to make sure that they're up to standard.
Yeah, for example, tricycles and cars have safety brakes. They should be strong and sturdy. Any part of a toy, this is very important, lads, that can come loose should be too large for a child to swallow.
Absolutely.
And electrical toys are properly insulated and protected from live wires. So, tips, particularly in relation to this CE mark, what is that?
So the CE mark is basically a standard, and it's produced. The CE mark is a manufacturer's declaration that the product complies with the EU safety standards and regulations. And it's really important. So it covers things like making sure, as you said, things aren't made from toxic materials or that they're not detachable and, you know, cause a risk. So if you do nothing else when you're buying toys, whether you're buying online in store, is take 2 seconds to have a look and make sure the CE mark is there. If there's no visible CE mark, it may be an indication that the toys do not meet safety requirements, and we would suggest then that you would source an alternative toy that does have the CE mark.
And also check about appropriate age warnings and that for children and that. Now, that CE mark, we also have to be careful, do we not, or maybe we don't, just to put this out there, in the way people can clone IE websites to pretend that they're Ireland, have we had cases of the CE mark being fraudulently put on toys and equipment?
We certainly would, yes, we would have taken, and we would, I suppose, where we would focus would be not necessarily at manufacturing, but at retailing, at retailers in Ireland. So we would have destroyed, last year we destroyed 51,000 unsafe toys. So yes, we would see, even at season or regular basis, either toys that have no CE mark or have one, or else there's a CE mark, but the paperwork doesn't stack up. So there is a very big risk, I suppose, attached to this. And to give a sense of it, so in terms of how prevalent, unfortunately, this is, illegal toys were the most flag product on an Europe-wide alert system for dangerous goods last year. So it is quite common. So it is important to start with that view of not everything you see in a shop is necessarily safe, but by doing one or two checks, you can ensure what you buy is safe.
What monitoring is done, by the way, in regards to toys? You just mentioned about destroying 60,000, is it, last year. How are those toys identified as being not up to par?
Yeah, so it usually happens is we work a lot with the port authorities. So they would usually identify, they would obviously look at paperwork that comes in order for shipping into the country, and they would have an idea what to keep an eye out for. They would give us a heads up that they have received consignments. So the kinds of stuff we would have taken before would have been, teddy bears, believe it or not, with big eyes that were coming off, that were detachable. A couple of years ago, we seized a huge amount of hoverboards when they came out first, because there was an issue with the battery that was in that when it went to charge, that a lot of them were overheating, or there was a risk of them overheating. So usually what happens is we get a heads up. Now, we also, on the other side, in terms of from consumers, that if you come across toys that do not have a CE mark or you're concerned that they are not safe, we would ask that you contact us, because that helps us a lot too. But also what you'd find is it's not usually specific to Ireland, it'd be Europe. So there's a huge, all of the authorities across Europe are constantly looking out for consignments and shippings, and they send out this alert that I spoke about there a minute ago to differ their counterparts across Europe, and then we'll alert consumers and we'll keep an eye out for those type of products coming into Ireland.
God be with the days when you got a gun and holster and and a cowboy hat, and you went out playing cowboys and Indians and shooting up half the neighbourhood and so on.
Absolutely, and I think actually even in that, toys have evolved a lot. And one of the ones probably people will be familiar with hearing a lot about this year is around magnets. And the risks of magnets when they're swallowed that they can have. So one of the other tips we'd have for consumers, particularly at the moment, because there seems to be a good few, is watching out for toys that contain magnets, and being careful that if your child gets a toy from Santa or as a gift from family that has a magnet, make sure, no matter what their age is, that they understand that they can never put it into their mouth. They may not intend it swallowing it, but putting it into their mouth is a risk.
Darren, what are you talking about? Tell
so
me,
these
explain.
These are these magnetic toys that connect together. And there was, I think there was a little trend going there for a while that kids were putting them in their mouth to take photos. Now, thankfully, I don't think there's been anything too much in Ireland, but certainly in the UK, there's a reports of kids who have huge surgery done because they accidentally swallowed.
Swallowed magnets?
So if they
go near a bit of metal, they're going to get stuck to it or whatever else magnet. Now, I'm only being flippant in that sense, but that's very serious. And the other thing you mentioned there is batteries. And I see that one of the things you recommend is that make sure younger children cannot open the part of the toy where the batteries are stored. Never mix older, new, or different strength batteries in the toy, as this can make the older, weaker batteries very hot and they can leak dangerous chemicals. Children can also choke on batteries, and be careful about electrical parts and well. God, we have to be so careful nowadays because so many toys are now electronic, Darren.
Yes, and batteries compose, as I said, the hoverboards were an example of how they can create such a risk that you think the safety is staying on the hoverboard, but actually for a time there it was charging them, so they've become more sophisticated. But if you buy from a reputable retailer, if you look for the CE mark, you are doing a huge amount to ensure that. So if by doing those two little steps and then being careful about age appropriate and young kids in the household with chokeable parts, and another piece just to mention is that guide of a 2 euro coin. So for young kids, is that anything smaller than the 2 euro coin can be a choking hazard. So when you're looking at a toy, if there are parts that attach that are smaller than a 2 euro, be very, very careful.
Right, that's interesting bit of advice, actually. Any part that can be detached, if it's smaller than a 2 euro coin, be very, very careful giving it to a young children. And you mentioned their chargers, and the temptation can be for people to buy cheap chargers, whether it be marketplaces or unauthorised dealers that don't have that CE mark, because they're an absolute hazard, fire hazard.
Hugely. So we have some tips about how you can identify. So if a charger feels very light, if the USB port is upside down, if the details on the packaging, if there's no contact details or there's typos on it or spelling mistakes, we would approach with caution. I think from a safety perspective, but also as well too in terms of when you buy it, if you buy a good quality one, it will last you as well too, along with the fact it obviously can be a fire risk.
Yeah, and the thing to look out for on labels, I've seen it before myself, is the standard of English, which sometimes can be, you know, how to door open, take top door handle, push, pull, and you get that kind of thing. If you see that kind of thing, you need to be very, very alert.
Absolutely.
That it's not meeting EU standards. So watch about the chargers, folks. Watch about anything that might have live wires in it. Watch about detachable parts that they can't be swallowed. Ah, Lord. Ah, for God's sake. Darren, it's so difficult nowadays for parents. They have to be careful in regards to that. And finally, just to finish up, toys are covered by safety legislation, are they not?
They are indeed. They have the specific legislation in place that is requires a CE mark, and it, as a retailer as well too. So it's not just the person that produces or the manufacturer, because a lot of these toys aren't made in Ireland and they're made abroad. But if you buy from a retailer in Ireland, then they're required to make sure these standards, the toys, no matter where they source those toys, that they reach EU standards. And if you have a question, if you can't find a CE mark, or you have a question about the safety of a toy, bring it back and ask them to prove to you that it is safe, to show you where the CE mark is and to show you that it's standard. And if they can't, then you can look for your money back.
All right, we've just elected you Mrs. Santa Claus. So,
I feel a little Green Murphy Weeper this morning, but a bit of Scrooge, but it's all in good. And
no,
I
Mrs. Santa Claus, we know that the women of this world make sure that the men of this world do the right thing.
Absolutely, so, and Santa has high standards too. So.
Santa has very high standards, and Mrs. Santa Claus is the main reason that he does have high standards. Now, we want to tell people, if you want to know more, If you do come across any unsafe toys, that you should alert the Competition Authority and Consumer Protection Commission to this. You can ring them on Dublin 01 402 5555. Very easy number to remember. That's 01 402 5555. But whether it's the chat we had yesterday into safe websites if you're shopping online for anything, and remember the restrictions now about Britain, and if they're not EU, your consumer rights are not guaranteed the way they might have been in the past. Check out the registration of the website, and if you are contacting Santa, you're better off contacting Mrs. Santa, maybe, to make sure that Mr. Santa does the right thing. The website for all the information is ccpc.ie, ccpc.ie, or the number Dublin 01 402 5555, and Mrs. Santa is otherwise the head of corporate communications with the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission, Darren Sweeney. Great talking to you again, Darren.
Great talking to you. Thank you.
Thank you indeed, and good morning. There's the news.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Okay, don't forget to text or WhatsApp our your messages in association with Whitewater Shopping Centre in Newbridge, the 08 33 97 97 97, and keep your messages coming in relation to that. Before we go on, let me see just what I'm doing here at the minute. Yeah, a couple of messages that have come in. Please wish, here's a very special one, I have to say, 97th birthday to Paddy McNamara of Woodlands, Castledermot, a proud Clareman. Wow. Paddy McNamara, happy birthday to you. 97th birthday today. What an incredible birthday that is. And maybe somebody, whoever sent that in, might tell me, where's Paddy from? Where in the banner? Yeah, good clear name, I have to say. It's also the birthday of another contributor here to the programme today, I've just been told. One Tommy Callaghan. Happy birthday to him today as well. And Johnson's that in. We won't give any other details. Under GDPR, I mean, I have to be careful in terms of what information might be shared. And also on the email, I've just got a message. Can you wish a big birthday to Bernard Campbell? 106 years old today. And he lives in Rathcoffey. He comes from all his neighbours and friends. Kay Kilgallen, will you please tell us more about that? About this wonderful man, Bernard Campbell. 106. What an incredible birthday. Kate Kilgallen, even if you send us a phone number that Owen can have a chat with you about this, it would be great as well. How do you live to be 106, lads? Fantastic. Anyway, let's move on, because there's a Climate Action Weekend taking place across the county this weekend. And to tell us more about all the details in regards to that, I'm joined by Liz Deneef. Good morning, Liz.
Good morning, Ken.
Now, Liz, you're a member of the Kildare Public Participation Network. What is that?
Thanks for having us on, Clem. So the Kildare Public Participation Network is, well, we're a member organisation. In Kildare, we've about 800 voluntary groups, our members, and it allows those groups to work together, to collaborate, and crucially to engage with our local authorities, so in our case, KCC, and allows us to engage with KCC in a structured fashion. So the Kildare, the Public Participation Network, gives voluntary and community groups a greater voice and influence in policy issues at county council level.
All right. Now, your Climate Action Weekend is taking place from today until Sunday, and you'll have a host of outdoor and virtual events taking place throughout the weekend across the county. Let's talk about some of those events.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. So we have 10 events on this weekend. As you say, many are online. Some of them are in person, but they're outdoors. And we're starting today at 3 o'clock with a talk, a climate change science talk. So we'll have Paul Regan from the East and Midlands Climate Action Regional Office. And he's going to do a really nice piece on, you know, what exactly is climate change? Why are we seeing these changes happening in the world? What's the science behind it all? And, of course, what are the solutions? So that starts today at 3, and that's an online event. Then this evening at 6 o'clock, we have a really important panel discussion, again, taking place online. We're really fortunate here in Kildare to have a number of global climate leaders actually working on climate issues here in Kildare. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the ICRIS Climate Research Centre here in Maynooth University, but we'll have Professor Peter Thorne, who's the director of the ICRIS project, taking part in that panel alongside Sive O'Neill, who's a really excellent climate communicator. She's from DCU, School of Law and Government. And then Sean McCabe, who currently works with Task Climate Justice Centre, and prior to that with the Mary Robinson Foundation. And that panel discussion is going to be chaired by our own Ali Sheridan, who is a sustainability and climate advisor and a key member of Kildare PPN. So that's a really special panel discussion. Again, it's taking place online at 6 o'clock. It's called Ireland's Climate Response, Where Are We? So we'd really encourage people to come along to that. Tomorrow as well, I know you had Dr. Judith Brown on during the week doing a really wonderful job explaining the importance of our bogs, and we have an online event again tomorrow with 12 about our proposed National Peatlands Park. So you might know, Clem, that 7 environmental NGOs have come together to advocate that 7,000 hectares of our amazing bogland here in Kildare and Offaly be secured for a National Peatlands Park. So anyone who is interested in knowing where that proposal is at and how those discussions are going with Kildare County Council with Ward and Lona should tune in tomorrow at 12.
All right. Now, I wanted to... Yeah, that's tomorrow at 12, indeed, in regards to that, with Jesmond Harding and Ray Stapleton.
That's right.
That's between 12 and 1 o'clock. At 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, you have what's called an online zero waste Christmas decorations workshop, which is hosted by the Craft Corner in partnership with Zero Waste Maynooth. That's at 11 a.m. We'll tell people how to access these online in a moment, but please tell me more about the bicycle repair clinic taking place in Kilcullen Community Centre tomorrow morning between 10:30 and 11 and 1 o'clock, because I have a bike that needs some tender loving care.
Well, that's good to hear, because obviously there's a huge amount to talk about getting people back on their bikes or on their bikes for the first time. But of course, it's good to... Some of us lack the skills or have forgotten the basic skills about how to keep them maintained. So as you say, that'll be happening in Kilcullen Community Centre. That's an in-person event and very much COVID compliant. But if anyone has a bike that needs a little bit of TLC, or if you need to learn a little bit more about keeping your bike in good shape, that's happening at Kilcullen tomorrow at 10:30.
All right.
That's just a drop-in centre.
Bring along the High Nellies there, boys and girls, tomorrow morning, 10:30 for your bicycle repair shop. I presume the repairs are free, aren't they?
They are, it is. Yeah, provided by the cycle clinic.
Yeah, now that doesn't mean you can get new tyres and new tubes and
wheels.
And everything
some
else.
Of the
But they'll maybe line up the old chain and get the wobble out of the wheels for you. And that's the Bicycle Repair Clinic, Kilcullen Community Centre, 10:30 to 1. And I have to say, I love cycling, and it's a great way to help with biodiversity, in particular to help about the climate situation. Tell me about the Lodge Bog Walk with IPCC taking place tomorrow. Where is that happening?
Yeah, so the meeting point is on Lodge Bog, which is in the south of the county. And again, that's just a really good opportunity. That'll be a guided walk by Irish Peatlands Conservation Council.
Okay.
And it will be just a good opportunity to learn a little bit.
Where is Lodge Bog, Liz? The exact place of it. Oh, and find out there on the satellite technology where Lodge Bog is.
There is a map and a link to the exact meeting point.
It's around Allan Wood, I'm told, regards to that.
All the details are on Kildare PPN.
All right. Now, also tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock, Sustainable Living with Elaine Butler, Living Lightly in Ireland. You have a walking tour of Ballymore Eustace. Oh, that would be lovely. With Emer Conway, who's Secretary of the Community Energy Mentor. That's on to Sunday now. We've moved on to Sunday. 11 a.m. Yep.
That's a really nice event, actually. And a lot of people will know Emer because she is working with a number of sustainable energy communities around Kildare. And what she's going to do is do a walk around the Ballymore and look at buildings that have, some of which have been retrofitted, some of which are preparing to go through the retrofitting process, and just kind of help people understand what's involved in that. I mean, there's an awful lot of talk about retrofitting houses, and it can be quite confusing. So Emer's going to really help go through the details about what's involved, how long it might take, And there, rumour has, a nice tea and coffee as well at the end of that as well.
Oh, I love that. And I hope there are some scones and buns in there as well, because
I'm sure she can stress to that.
They have to go with the coffee. That's lovely. It sounds lovely. Walking tour of Ballymore Eustace. Mm-hmm. And now we have another equally lovely walk on Sunday. Ballymore Eustace walk is at 11 a.m. We'll tell you, by the way, how to get further details on all of this in a moment. Another lovely walk on Sunday at 2:30 p.m. with the NACE Biodiversity Group, a walk of NACE Lakes.
Yeah, again, as you say, really special event. Anyone who's living in NACE is familiar with the lakes, but this is going to it's a guided tour again, which is going to really go into the detail of the natural environment there, the biodiversity that is thriving right here in the town. The Biodiversity Group is a relatively new group. It's established about a year ago, but their goal is to plant 1,000 trees before the end of the year. So they're really active, really engaged. And if anyone would like to join that group, they're meeting just opposite Vista.
That's the Vista Clinic, just in the region of the hospital, folks, down from the hospital there, the Vista Clinic. Mm-hmm. Chair Roach, probably owner of the Vista, he'll probably be out to lead that walk, I'm sure, jog around the NACE Lakes. That takes place at 2:30 on Sunday, and events will wind up on Sunday evening at 6 o'clock with a climate action and participation panel on Facebook Live and YouTube. Now, it's a very exciting, and I have to say, compliments to you all on this climate action weekend, because there's such variety in it, beginning, as I said, today at 3 o'clock with the climate change science talk. Now, if you want to find out more how to get onto any of these and book your place or whatever else, you can turn up, I'm sure, to some of the real events, if I'll call them that, as distinct from virtual events. But you can also book places at the website kildareppn.ie/climate-action-weekend. If you look for kildarepn.ie, just Google it. You can get all the information on that. Well done, Liz. I think it's great.
Thank you very much.
Lots of activities for the weekend, and that's the clear message and all of that. It's open to everyone. Everybody's welcome, and it's all free as well. Liz Deneef is a committee member of the Kildare Public Participation Network about those events. kildarepn.ie if you want to find out more. Thank you, Liz. Have a good weekend.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
And enjoy that.
Ho, ho, ho. Want to get in touch with your favourite show on KFM? If so, text or WhatsApp us now on 0833 97 97 97.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge. Get Christmas all wrapped up at Whitewater.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
The busy weekends on the sports scene continues across the different codes, whether it be the KDFL, indeed AIL Rugby, where NACE go to Shannon this weekend, or here in Kildare GAA, where, with the county championships now decided, action focuses on Leinster. And this weekend, that focus is on hurling, with senior champions NACE in action in the Leinster Intermediate Championship. They're at home in St. Connaught's Park at 1 o'clock tomorrow. And Maynooth go into action in the Leinster Junior Championship on Sunday against Trumrah of Leash. That's at 1 p.m. as well. I'm joined, as ever, by our regular analyst here, sports editor with the Leinster Leader, Tommy Callaghan. Good morning, Tommy.
Morning, Cam.
Not so long since NACE won that, I suppose, what might be described, Tommy, as a strange county final.
Absolutely, Cam. It was a very strange NACE performance. And maybe saying that, we should give Selby's plenty of credit, because Selby certainly, they knew themselves they were coming in as underdogs, but they certainly didn't play as underdogs. Jack Sheridan was absolutely superb. Only for that they were in serious trouble. But yeah, you kind of always felt that they were going to make it. This NACE team has had to be dominating so much until their time that it's now the time to step up the mark and start putting their imprint on Leinster club.
Well, let's hear what Tom Mullally had to say. He's the manager on that particular occasion regarding that game.
We can only deal with the 60 minutes that we play, and the 60 minutes that we play today, we've come out on top. So in terms of how good or how bad we are in relation, like today's performance is, we kind of finished on top and try and stick in the moment rather than past tense or future tense and stuff like that. Like, I mean, I can't control NACE's history. You mean all I can control is the present, you mean, and stuff like that. And at the minute,
Here's what NACE captain Brian Byrne had to say immediately following that game. A man, of course, who made a bit of history in winning successive senior medals in hurling and football.
There wasn't complacency coming in today, and I'll make sure that's not the case. The guys have done a fantastic job preparing us for this. We've worked extremely hard. I just think our performance was probably a little bit off in the first half. I wouldn't put it down to complacency.
And Tommy, just let's hear indeed from Jack Sheridan.
Credit where credit's due. It was our blood sub, Jeff Keane, came on, tackled Selber's lad, overturned it, and Simon was the lucky one to finish it off.
12 points he scored that day, if memory is correct for me, 9 frees, 2 from play and the 65. He really was the key figure.
He's a class act, there's no doubt in the world about that. I mean, Jack was coming out and taking frees from his own, from nearly on his own 45. Incredibly accurate, you know. I mean, and they were needed. And you can have an accurate free taker such as Jack Sheridan. That's a huge, huge bonus.
They have a fair spine in their team, Tommy, because if you look along that, Richard Hogan at full back, Ross Kelly, centre fielder Sean Ganey, and Simon Lacey, who got the goal the last day, Brian Byrne, the aforementioned, and then James Burke, another inter-county player up front, flanked by Sheridan, the likes of Shane Ryan, the Dowlings in there. They're a powerful side. We are speaking in a vacuum, of course, because we know little or nothing about Castleknock.
No, we know very little about Castleknock. Probably Castleknock more about NACE than NACE do about Castleknock. The hurling in Dublin has gone very, very strong over the last number of years, and Castleknock, I think they're a club that's only there, I think it's about 98, around that, and now they're one of the biggest clubs in Dublin. And Castleknock will not be easy opposition on Saturday, and NACE will have to step up in their game from their display in the county final. When we're looking at this hurdles, we're inclined to look at the forward line. But actually, as you said there, Clem, they're very strong at the back. They're very good in midfield. Simon Lacey got that brilliant goal that more or less turned that match against Selbridge. No, I'd imagine that having it over that, this is their next big step now, and if they can get over this one, it won't be easy, but I mean, this is where NACE want to be. This is where NACE have to now move on, because they've been dominating Kildare Hurling now for 3 years, at least, and maybe a little bit more, and now the time is to step on and move forward.
So we have that game, full commentary with Ger McNally and former Kildare goalkeeper Paul Darmody tomorrow. That game throws in St Conor's Park at 1 p.m. All the action here. On to Sunday, the Leinster Junior quarter-final sees Kildare Intermediate champions Maynooth take on Trumrah of Laois. Again, nothing known about the opposition side, but Maynooth, it's great to see them finally get that senior status, Tommy, for next season here in the county.
There's an awful anomaly there in this hurling, and hopefully that will be sorted out. There's a review committee set up there in the last while, and they're reviewing all championships, football and hurling, and this is one that has to be looked at. I mean, Maynooth should have been up last year. I mean, to win an intermediate title and then not to progress onto the senior ranks, it's just ridiculous. But you'd have to be delighted. Maynooth, they're having a brilliant year on both football and hurling, you know what I mean? I was down there the other day at an ASCBS match, and they have a great setup both in their own club and down the road then where they play some of their matches as well. They're a very progressive club, work extremely hard, and I'm absolutely delighted that they're gone into the senior ranks come next year. And I actually, without knowing a whole lot about the opposition, I mean, they got that promotion finally under belts last weekend, when they defeated Aero Corrigree by 18-9. So that'll be an ideal preparation for this weekend's Leinster club game. And there's a lot of good hurlers in Maynooth. We have the likes of Cahill McCabe. So these guys now have inter-county experience as well. You know, the forwards, Mickey Gillick, David Quarter is playing very well, Kieran Flanagan. A lot of good hurlers there, and lads that are... lads. When you see lads from the school, as I was down there in the CBS match during the week, and you see lads coming out of the schools and with two hurlers in their bags as well, you know, that's a sure sign. Look, if we don't bring the game, they'll be there or thereabouts. No doubt in the world about that.
Indeed. We'll have live updates with Ger McNally from that game on Sunday, and indeed commentary of the latter stages of the second half as well, given if the game is close. Speaking of hurling, Tommy, Kildare Camogie has announced the appointment of Joe Quaid as the manager of the Kildare Intermediate team. Of course, he managed the Kildare Hurlers in recent years and to a Christy Ring Cup title in 2018. He then went on to Westmeath, whom he managed for about a year. Unusually for Kildare Camogie, if I might say so, we were actually told about this appointment. But Tommy, what do you make of that Joe Quaid coming to take over the Kildare Camogie team?
Yeah, well, I won't say it was a surprise, but we all knew they were on the lookout for a new manager, but I wouldn't think many people were expecting Joe to come back to Kildare. Joe being a very popular fella, he was very popular when he was here with the senior hurlers, and everybody got on well with him, and he knows his stuff. There's no doubt in the world about that. If Kildare Camogie can get their act together, he'd be a huge bonus, and he seems to have a good backroom team there with him as well. As I say, if Kildare Camogie can just get their whole act together, and it'll be very interesting to see how they progress in the next 12 months.
And I want to reiterate, Tommy, that sometimes we're asked here in KFM why we don't cover more Camogie. We have sweated blood in the last couple of years to try and track Kildare Camogie. We never, ever get any email information in regards to teams, fixtures or whatever. We tend to find them out incidentally. I don't know if that practice is shared by you in the newspaper world, Tommy.
It is indeed, Clem. It is indeed. I've nearly given up on trying to track down Kildare Camogie people. They just have to, they're no act together. Even down to fixtures, that's going to have to get, they really need to get together. I mean, they have sponsorship on their jerseys as well, you know, I mean, and they have to think of their sponsors and everybody else. So hopefully this is the start of a new era, and they'll improve, not only improve on the field but improve off it, and with their PR and their fixtures and game results and everything else.
The previews of all those weekend games in this week's edition of the Leinster Leader, not just the GA but across all the other codes as well. Sports editor of the Leinster Leader, Tommy, thank you for your time again, Tommy Callaghan, and have a great sporting weekend.
And you, Clem. Thanks, Emil.
And have a great birthday weekend, Tommy Callaghan, as well, because we've got loads of birthday wishes. We're not going to say what the birthday is, but very special birthday wishes coming in. We mentioned a couple of them earlier on. And also Tommy's three sisters, Anne-Marie, Gemma and Barbara, want to say happy birthday to, I presume given the age, but we'll keep it secret, is the big brother, Tommy, isn't there? Oh, I think he's gone. he's a bit shy about all of that anyway. But a happy birthday to Tommy in regards to that. Okay, let's see what's on the club scene. Aside from those Leinster quarterfinals, let's see. Owen Beattie has news of the Kildare club fixtures this weekend also.
The Kildare footballers have been placed in Group C, and their O'Byrne Cup fixtures are as follows. On Saturday, the 8th of January, Kildare versus Westmeath in Newbridge. Wednesday, 12th of January, Carlow versus Kildare in Carlow. While on Saturday, the 15th of January, Kildare have a bye. The semi-finals will take place on Wednesday, January 19th, with the final being played on Saturday 22nd. The hurling team begin their Keogh Cup campaign with an away game to Carlow on Sunday, January 16th. The following Sunday, 23rd, they'll play away to Westmeath, while on the 30th, they're at home to Meath. Whichever team tops the group will win the competition.
Okay, those are the O'Byrne Cup fixtures and Keogh Cup fixtures, and that the actual Kildare Club fixtures this evening in the football under-23C final. Leixlip play Rathangan, and that game is in Mangar plus Hawkfield at 7:30 this evening. Tomorrow, the under-23B semi-final takes place also in Hawkfield and pitch 1. Salons against Newtown Grails at 6 o'clock. The E Championship final is in Hawkfield pitch number 2 at Garvin versus Abbey Rangers at 6 o'clock. And on Sunday, the B Championship semi-final takes place. 2 Mile House playing Eadstown at 6 o'clock. The Hurling A, under-21A final is also down for Sunday. It doesn't list who is in that particular one. Indeed, Owen, also in the KDFL, things are winding down there.
Yeah, fixtures over the weekend in the FAI Junior Cup Round 4, Athytown against Suncroft and Carberry FC from Sligo. They'll play Strachan AFC. Then also in Round 4, it's Coyle Dove against North End United, and the A Sports Awards Masters Cup Final, Naas AFC against Maynooth Town. Also some fixtures in the Leinster Senior League for the weekend as well. Collinstown against Leixlip United, Maynooth University Town against Crumlin United, Cherry Orchard versus Eden Derry Town, and Lucan United against Newbridge Town.
Okay, on regards to that, there's a Premiership weekend as well. And in AIL Rugby, Owen, we have two games. I know that Nace are away to Shannon tomorrow afternoon at 2:30, and Jim Casey will be bringing his live reports into Sportsbeat with Ben Atkinson tomorrow between 2 and 6. Are MU Barnhall in action this weekend?
They are indeed. Of course, they were beaten last weekend against Old Crescent. That was at home in Parsonstown, and the score there, 23-18. This weekend, they're away to Dolphin, and that's tomorrow afternoon at 2:30 in Musgrave Park, MU Barnhall against Dolphin.
All right, in regards to that, let's hear then what's our menu over the weekend.
KFM Weekend Sport begins with the Friday morning Kildare Today preview at 10:45. Saturday Sports Beat with me, Ben Atkinson, features commentary from 1pm of Naas Hurlers v Castleknock in the Leinster Intermediate Club quarterfinal in St Conlett's Park. AAL Rugby updates, golf, racing results and great music. Sunday Sports Beat with Paul Power features from 1pm updates of Maynooth Hurlers versus Trumra of Laois in the Leinster Club Junior quarterfinal in Mangard plus Hawkfield. Plus rugby, golf, racing results and the best music. Music from 5:30, results and reports.
KFM.
Yes, indeed. Our commentary team, Ger McNally and former Kildare goalkeeper Paul Darmody tomorrow. So don't forget to join us for that at around 5:00 to 1:00. And again on Sunday, updates from around 5:00 to 1:00 of the Maynooth game as well. And all the rest of the weekend sporting action until 6:00 both days. Tomorrow with Ben Atkinson and on Sunday with Paul Power. Now, in regards to that gentleman, Mr. Campbell, who is 106, Bernie Campbell. Bernie, I'm sure you're a relation. I see you work in the sports section of the Kildare Nationalist, I think, and you've told us that we interviewed him when he was 100 and lives in Rathcoffey, and he still goes to Mass on Sundays. We're talking again, of course, about Bernard Campbell, who is 106 years young. So Bernard Campbell is 106. Bernie Campbell emailed us there. Bernie, you must be a granddaughter, are you? Of, so you might maybe, if you stuck us in a phone number very, very quickly, we might even have a quick word with you in regards to this amazing man who's still going to work on Sundays. A couple of other messages coming in, by the way, in regards to various issues. Yes, there were other birthday greetings for Tommy that came in from Georgina O'Rourke as well, who wanted us to do that. There's a Christmas craft fair, Alamut Community Group hosting a Christmas craft and food fair in Alamut GAA, that's on Sunday the 5th of December. We'll tell you more about that down along the line. A couple of other things that are on at the moment as well. The KWSPCA is looking for volunteers to help their animal shelter. They're looking for help with dog walking as well as jobs around the shelter, such as cleaning, help with feeding and other routine work. They want people to commit to a regular half day, either 9 to 1 or 12:30 to 5 or a full day each week, and you must be over 18. They have plenty of help at weekends, but really they're stuck for help along the days. If you can help with that, you can give them a ring on 087-6803-295. That's 087-6803-295. Or indeed, you can email them at kwwspca@gmail.com.